From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. For the first time in 35 years, the infant mortality rate in the U.S. has gone up. The U.S. already has one of the worst rates in the developed world, so the increase is disturbing news. Perhaps more disturbing is that North Carolina's infant mortality rate is higher than the national average. The number of premature births is going up as well. North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC health reporter Rose Hoban joins us now to shed some light on this. Rose, welcome.
Thank you.
What are the rates? What's the U.S. rate and the North Carolina rate?
Well, the U.S. rate, there's numbers everywhere. So the U.S. rate for 2002, which is the last year that there's numbers for the entire country, is 7.0, which is an increase. It was an increase from 2001 even. And then the North Carolina rate in 2004, since we've got a smaller group that we're working with so we can have slightly more recent numbers, is 8.8. So we're doing worse than the rest of the nation.
Doing worse, and the nation is doing worse than Europe and the rest of the developed world. So yet this is a wealthy nation. We usually associate infant mortality with poverty. Is that a connection that we should be making here? Is that what you're finding in this?
Well, when I first started working on the story, I figured that that would be the inextricable link that we would find. And that wasn't exactly the case. These things are also interwoven that it's hard to tease out, you know, one thing over the other. But there are indicators that some of these things might be related to poverty. I'm going to talk a little bit about prematurity because it's a good way to get into infant mortality. The rate of prematurity has also gone up nationwide. It's over 12% of children are now born premature, and that's before 37 weeks. So that's pretty early. Let me just make sure that I've got that right.
And while you're doing that, how does that compare to the rest of the world?
I'm not exactly sure.
Because you're looking at simply the U.S. rates and the national. We don't have figures for that.
And some of that stuff is hard to actually get. To do the comparisons, we can look at U.S. versus a particular state.
Right.
But the whole thing with preterm birth, when you have a preterm birth, then you have more children who are born at a low birth weight, and that makes them more vulnerable to dying during infancy, during that first year of life. So that's part of what's driving the infant mortality rates. They think that there's a lot of things that go into it. Women who are more likely to have a preterm birth are women who are less than 20 and older than 35. So there are more women who are older who are having babies now. There are more people using reproductive technology. So what that means is that they're having more multiple births, which means that those babies tend to come out sooner. And when they come out, they're smaller, they're more vulnerable. So, part of the, technological boom in reproductive care is helping to drive some of this. There's some real persistent things that the March of Dimes cites that contribute to infant mortality and prematurity as well, which are things like poor nutrition and smoking. And that could be part of the link as to what accounts for the U.S.'s persistently higher rates of infant mortality than, say, Europe. One researcher I spoke to said something that, it's hard to say that now in North Carolina, a lot of women are getting prenatal care courtesy of Medicaid. So they're getting the prenatal care. But what he was talking about is this idea that, in Europe you have this sort of cradle-to-grave health care so that the women, when they walk in, even before they get pregnant, they might be healthier. And you've been able to maintain their health a little better before they get pregnant. So when they do get pregnant, they're sort of starting out stronger.
So it's the whole healthcare system, not just the prenatal system or the,
Right. That's one thing, but it's hard to tease that out,
right.
So the researchers are looking at more sort of controllable things, the things like smoking, the things like the reproductive technology, infections, And really the multiple births, they think, is driving some of this.
And of course, as you suggest, it's a very complicated picture. Has anybody been able to figure out what's going on in North Carolina, why the rates are so much higher here?
There's a lot of research being done right now. One of the disturbing things in North Carolina is that the rate of infant mortality for African-American women is double the rate it is for white women. On the other hand, for Latina women, it's about the same as white women. And for Mexican women, they've actually got a lower rate of infant death than white women. Mm. And that's that touted Latina paradox or Mexican paradox, right, depending on who you talk to.
And an important part of that is that that only holds true for the first 10 years. So when you get here for 10 years, if you have a child, you have a much better chance of survival. And then after you're here for a while and have children,
Más o menos.
You start to Más o menos.
Yeah, it's the, as they're here, that, you know, researchers looking at this and wondering, what is it about living and experiencing American culture that gives these women worse outcomes, worse birth outcomes once they've been here for some time?
And as you reported this morning, it doesn't appear to be a racial link, because the same outcomes aren't true, the same poor outcomes for African-American that African-American women experience here are not true in Africa.
Yeah, that one of the researchers I spoke to has participated in research in Africa and looking at women in West Africa and finding that not necessarily infant mortality, because, of course, in many countries in West Africa, their health systems aren't as well developed, and so they do have higher infant mortality rates. But the rates of preterm birth, which is a pretty easy number to measure, you know, before 37 weeks, after 37 weeks, that their rates of preterm birth are about equal to what white women have here.
The other interesting thing I heard in your report was that the high infant mortality rate among African Americans goes across economic lines.
They seem to, they're trying to control, you know, when you do your statistics and you control for economic status and you control for income, and that it just kind of, it's persistent, it stays there, that African American women tend to have more premature babies and more children that die during infancy. And so this is one of the real things that researchers are looking at and scratching their heads over and kind of trying to figure out, what is it that's driving
this? The paradox in the United States is it's a wealthy country. Infant mortality is often linked with socioeconomic development. Hey, how come if we're so rich, we have such poor outcomes? The other link, though, is technology. And you began to talk about that. Let's talk a little bit more about the high technology in the United States that may, in some ways, be contributing to a statistically higher infant mortality rate.
Yeah, it's that was really interesting to me. In part, one of the places I visited during when I was working on the story was a neonatal intensive care unit at Wake Med. It's very high tech, you know, two babies for one nurse. They were getting very intensive nursing care. There were babies there who were born as early as 25, 26 weeks. These are babies that have a very low chance of living long term. And, you know, they're managing to sort of squeeze them through and get them to survive. But these are kids who are going to be more vulnerable as they grow. So that could be, you know, that's that technology. And then that success in neonatology, one of the researchers I was talking to talked about the fact that some obstetricians or perinatologists, people who take care of high-risk pregnancies, look at the moms and they say, oh, mom is having vaginal bleeding. You know, this baby's, you know, she's having lots of preterm labor. She's at 29 weeks. Let's get the baby out. We know that the baby can survive. We can take care of it out of mom. So they either, you know, do a cesarean section or induce labor and get the baby out of mom and then take care of it.
So this confidence in postnatal technology is suggesting to doctors that maybe they can get away with a premature birth.
Exactly.
And the number of premature, the actual rate of, it's not the number of premature births, but the gestation rate in the United States, the term is actually reduced.
These are all of these numbers are kind of adding up to some really strange things happening. At the same time that the National Center for Health Statistics put out the numbers on prematurity and infant mortality, they also came out with a finding that cesarean section rates in the United States are the highest they've ever been. Now, this is a decade after there was a big push in the early 90s, try and reduce the cesarean section rate. And now it's close to 30%. I think the total rate is 29.1% of all births are done by C-section. And so, and it's, you know, in part, there's a real hesitancy to allowing women to give birth vaginally after they've had a cesarean section. Right. So even though there's very low, like less than 1% rate of uterine rupture after having had that cesarean section, there's a lot of, you know, risk aversion. Right. So then that's kind of right. So the upshot of it is that average length of pregnancy in the United States has dropped to about 39 weeks. That's just wild.
Are there answers? Are we getting any idea about how to reduce the rate of premature births?
I think back in the late 80s, the North Carolina was thought to have the worst infant mortality rate in the country. It was a statistical anomaly. It was in the end wrong, but what it meant was that there was a lot of money put into prenatal care, and it has been a good thing for women in the state, but it hasn't solved the problem. And so that was the thing that when I talked to the researchers that I talked to, they were all, how could this be?
Yeah.
And they were really trying to puzzle this out.
So we're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Rose, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rose Hoban is a health reporter for North Carolina Public Radio. Just ahead, we will talk with musician Mamadou Djibouti about his Grammy-nominated new album. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.